Lord's help, we're going to begin a study in the book of Galatians. And so if you would take your Bible and open to the book of Galatians, I'm going to give you a little background on the purpose of the writing of the book and some of the themes, the main theme in particular of the book. And then next week, the Lord willing, we'll begin and just kind of go section by section, verse by verse. It's my favorite way of teaching and preaching the Word of God, just opening up the Bible and taking a book and just going down verse by verse. The Scripture says line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a great way to learn not just the principles, but find out some practices of the Word of God. All principles should lead to practices. Amen? It's not enough just to know what God says. We want to listen. Doctrine is great, but doctrine should beget duty. You know, we want to know what God says. Why? So we can do what God says to do. Right? Yeah, we don't want to just be those that say, well, you know, I know what God says. Well, then you've been given light. And we each one are going to give account for the light that we have. And God will not lead us into further light until we have used the light that God has given us. Tonight in the book of Galatians, if you'll open up to the book of Galatians, I want to talk to you just a little bit about what prompted this book. One of the first things when I begin to study a book that I will do is I will read the book through. Sometimes, several times. Just read it through. I've read the book of Galatians through probably just in the past week, probably five or six times. It doesn't take long. I turned in a little early last night, just went upstairs and laid across my bed and read through the book of Galatians. I think it may have taken me every bit of 15, 20 minutes just to read through the book. And I would encourage you to do that while we're studying the book of Galatians. Just find a little time, 15, 20 minutes. Could be a break at work. It could be turning in a little early or getting up a little sooner and just opening up and reading through the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians is a very interesting book, as is all the Bible. It's a little different from some of the other epistles of the Apostle Paul, in that when Paul opens up the book and he addresses it, he doesn't address it to a church. He addresses the book to churches, plural. Notice if you would with me in Galatians chapter 1. Look if you would in verse number 2. He said, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." Now, that's very unusual for the Apostle Paul. If you'll go back sometime, don't do it now, but if you'll go back and look, you'll see where he wrote to the church of God, which was at Corinth. He wrote to the church, which was at Rome. He wrote to the church in Ephesus. He did the same in Colossae, and he did the same to Thessalonica, the two letters that he wrote to the Thessalonians, and so forth. But here he's writing to churches, so it's obvious, and if you will study it, when Paul took his first missionary journey through Antioch of Pisidia and Iconium and Derbe and Lystra, when he was there in that area, that's kind of the province of Asia, that's where this area was, and during his first missionary journey there, he'd done some evangelizing. And when he went back in his second missionary journey, and you can read this in the book of Acts, he'd done some revisiting. He really didn't do a lot of evangelizing. He visited some of the churches that he had already planted. And so this letter was prompted by something that he had heard that was going on with the churches, again in verse number 2, the churches in Galatia, chapter 1, verse 2. There was something going on. Now, in order to get a good grasp on why Paul chose to write to this group of brethren, to these churches, you have to understand what was going on during this day. There was a transition taking place. A lot of Jews were being saved. And the Jews, well, they kept the law. They loved the law of Moses. They said that it was a requirement to be circumcised, even if you were a Greek or a Gentile, that in order to become a Christian, they attached those things with the grace of God. And Paul had received the commission, and he made this very clear, I want you to notice, Paul doesn't open any other book of his writing in the Scripture the way he opens up the book of Galatians. Notice in chapter 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men. Amen. You won't see Paul open up any other book like this. Now, the reason Paul wanted to make this clear is because there were some men that were going around. They were called Judaizers. Now, Judaizers were Jews who still held to the legal system of the law in order to gain acceptance unto God. And they were going around following Paul and trying to discredit his teaching as he would go out on his missionary journey. They would actually follow him around and try to discredit what he was teaching, in particular to these Gentile churches where Jews were coming in, and they were saying, no, it's not all of grace. It's not all of grace. There is some additional things that needs to be taught, and they said, we'll teach them to you. Well, Paul wanted to make it very clear, these people are of men. That's not of God. Now, in our day, it would be very clear to see that this is going on in our day. There are people who stand up in the name of God, but they do not preach the Word of God. And so that would be what this is. When someone stands up and says, well, you know, it's grace, but it's grace plus something, or grace and something, well, no, it's not. And Paul said, you know, he said in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man. Man didn't send me. Paul said, I had my own agenda. And Jesus Christ came to me on the road to Damascus, saved me, and put me in the ministry. And he gave me this message to a Gentile people. He gave me the gospel to the Gentiles. He sent me to the heathen, to the idolaters. He sent me to these Gentile people, these Gentile nations, to preach and to teach unto them the grace of God. He said, that was not of men, nor by man. Man didn't choose me and say, hey, run out there and teach them this, or run over here and teach them that. We'll lose them if you don't teach them. Run over there and teach them that. Paul said, that's not why I visited you, and that's not why I'm writing you. So in verse number 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren, this was his missionary team, all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now that's his introduction. But then he immediately gets to the problem at hand. Paul said, let me, you know, just kind of wipe all that away. Just want to let you know that this is not about me. This is not about men. This is God. And by the way, you have a problem. And I'm going to get right to it. He said in verse number 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. He said, I'm surprised. I marvel. I'm shocked that you would be so easily removed from doctrinal, sound doctrinal teaching on the grace of God. Now, what was happening? Well, as I mentioned to you, and by the way, that's what this book's about. This book, the book of Galatians, is a great treatise on Paul taking what he had been given, the grace of God, the message of the gospel of grace, and preaching it. And when others came in and said, no, we've got to tie works in, got to have some law, got to have some ritual, got to have some ceremony, Paul said, oh no. And he said, that will put you back under bondage. And he said, there were three things that came out of this, and I'm going to share them with you here in just a moment. And they're still around today from these teachings. But what had happened is, you have to remember now, the gospel was preached in Jerusalem, and many Jewish people got saved. Now, brethren, I don't know if you've ever led someone from a religious background to Christ, it follows them. It's very difficult for them to break free from some of those religious rituals. Now, myself, when I tell people this, it's kind of in jest, but there's a lot of truth to it. I was just a heathen. I didn't have any religious teaching. I didn't. We didn't go to church. We didn't get any teaching on God. The only time I ever heard God with my stepfather, my mother, and my siblings was God's name used in vain. Now, thank God for my grandmother. She was a good Christian lady, and she was the only light in my immediate family, and I thank God for her. And I'm just convinced, and I will be until I find out for sure in heaven, that it was because of the prayers of my grandmother that I stand before you today as a saved man. We were heathen. See, when we got saved, we didn't have any religious things to follow us. Now, some people do. You know, when people get involved in religious cults and religious activities, they get saved and those things follow them. Well, so it was with the Jewish people. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Hold your Bible in the book of Galatians and go back to Acts just for a moment in chapter number 6. Now, you know the day of Pentecost. You turn into Acts 6, but I'm kind of referring to Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost. They were devout men. And what were they? Jews. Right? Jews. Isn't that what the Bible says? On the day of Pentecost. And they got saved. 3,000 brethren got saved there in Jerusalem. The day of Pentecost. Men. And then women and children. And then Peter preached again in Acts chapter number 4 and 5. And 5,000 got saved. The church was filling up. And in Acts chapter number 6, the scripture says, and I want you to notice this, in Acts chapter 6, of these people that were being saved, and there were multitudes of people, notice what it says in verse number 7. And the word of God, Acts chapter 6, verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And it says, and a great company of the priest were obedient to the faith. Now, you've got to understand that when these priests got saved, the book of Acts is a transitional book. We don't get doctrine from the book of Acts, okay? We go to our church epistles to get church doctrine. The book of Acts is transitional. It's a time when the Spirit of God begins the ministry of baptizing people into the body of Christ. And it's a time when the church is born and the church is beginning to go out and branch out through worldwide evangelistic effort. But these Jews, they had been trained, these priests had been trained in ritualism, ceremonies. And so they get saved, and they're not just going to come and listen. That it's going to be hard to shake some of those things. You know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm talking to you about tonight? There are people who get saved from religious backgrounds. It's difficult. Listen, they're saved. But if they were brought up in that system, it's going to take a while to shake some of that teaching and to see what the Scripture says. Right? You see, you get taught that. And you get, it just, listen, you just get bombarded with those teachings. And then when you get saved, you just assume, well, you know, this priest wouldn't tell me wrong, or this preacher wouldn't tell me wrong, or grandma wouldn't tell me wrong. But then you begin to see in the Bible, wait a minute, what they told me and what the Bible teaches is two different things. My, how that wakes you up. And you begin to think, wow, I've been being taught wrong all these years. It's hard to come to grips with that. Well, that's what was going on in this transitional period. Insomuch, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 15, insomuch that when Paul, as an apostle to the Gentiles, was going and he and his missionary team and was preaching the grace of God and people were getting saved, turn to Acts chapter 15, there was a group of Jews going around saying, telling people this, and it really bothered Paul and Barnabas. They essentially were saying, Paul and Barnabas, you're doing it wrong. Now listen, watch this. Acts chapter 15. And certain men, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren, now, these that had been saved. Many of those whom Paul had won to Christ in his missionary journeys, they taught the brethren. Certain men, all right, these Judaizers, came down and they taught the brethren and they said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Well, I'd have a problem with that too. Right? Now, the scripture says in verse number 2, when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. In other words, they didn't just sit back and let them have their say. They stood up and withstood them and said, oh no. No, uh-uh. It's the grace of God plus nothing. You're saved by grace. Amen? Well, again, you have to understand, this was a very volatile time. It was a time of transition. And things could have really erupted here. And sometimes men have disagreements over what is right and what is wrong scripturally. And I like the way that this conference went. Men got together and they began to see what the scripture says. Let's read some of these scriptures. It says in verse number 2, after these men had said, well, you got to be circumcised. And matter of fact, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. Now, we know better than that. But now you have to understand that here's a group of people, many, many Jewish people that had been saved and had come into the church. They were used to the law teaching. And it's very difficult for them. See, they were still hanging on. And so they were saying, well, maybe this is right. But Paul and Barnabas, in verse number 2, they had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And so they got with a council in Jerusalem. And they began to discuss, what is salvation? What is salvation? Did you know that question is still being asked today? That question is still being asked today. How can you be saved? Do I have to keep a certain amount of rules and laws? Do I have to do that to be saved? Once I get saved, do I have to adapt a certain group of teachings or do certain things or I will no longer be saved? What is salvation? How do you get saved? What saith the scriptures? Well, there's a lot of answers from men. And this really shook Paul and it bothered him because he knew that Christ had given him the gospel of the grace of God. And that was the message that Christ had commissioned him to preach. And so the scripture says, if we look at verse number 3 of chapter 15, the book of Acts, being brought on their way by the church, they passed from Phoenix to Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of who? The Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Well, this ought to cause a problem. Amen. You see, there'll be people that'll tell you when you get saved, well, you know, now that you're saved, you've got to do thus and thus and thus in order to confirm it or in order to remain saved. And that's what's happening here. So one of the things that was happening there on that province where Paul had planted those churches in Galatia, there had been teachers gone in and had taught them and had brought them under the yoke of bondage again. And verse number 6 of Acts 15, the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, verse number 7, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago, God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by, what's that next word? Faith, brethren, faith. Not the deeds of the law, not works, faith. It's by faith, grace, through faith. And that's what was happening here. And Peter stood up and he said, I want to confirm, when God sent me to Cornelius, when God got a hold of my heart and I went unto the Gentiles, he said, it was when he began to want to bring them in. He said, it's faith, it's grace. Verse number 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. Now, I want to stop right there. We could go right on and read. And I want you to read this chapter sometime. It's got some great stuff in it. But I like the conclusion that Peter came up with. Amen. Let's look at it one more time in verse number 11. This was the conclusion. And Peter said, this is it, brethren. Verse number 11. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. You know what? I believe that too. Because that's what this book teaches. It's what the Bible teaches. It's not grace plus works. It's not grace plus works. Now, I want you to go back to Galatians. I'll give you a couple of more points and then for the writing of the book, and then we'll close for tonight. I wanted to lay a little foundation. What prompted Paul to write to these churches? Well, there had been some Judaizers going in, and they had begun to tell them, well, you know, you've got to do certain things. You've got to keep certain laws. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to become a Jewish proselyte. In other words, you've got to convert to the Jewish religion before you can be saved. It would be very similar in our day for a missionary to go into a tribal area and try to convert them to the Western way of life before they could get saved. Brethren, being a part of the American way has nothing to do with being saved. Amen. When we send missionaries, we're not sending them over there to promote the American way of life. We are sending missionaries to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it's the gospel of Christ that is the power of God unto salvation. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so don't you, and God help me, not to get a little out of kilter when a missionary shows up and he's got on different attire than what I might have on. If he's got on the tribal attire and he's preaching to those tribal people, then that doesn't bother me at all. Help me out with our brother that was here, big brother. What was his name? Shoemaker. Thank you, Brother Shoemaker. He and his family wore the garb that they wear over in the area where they were. That didn't shake me up at all. That's the way it is. We're not sending them over there to westernize whatever area they go to. We're sending them there to evangelize. And there is a difference. There is a difference. So what these people were trying to do was trying to say, well, you've got to become like the Jewish people. You've got to become a Jewish proselyte. You have to adapt the Jewish law and the Jewish way before you can be saved. And Paul said, oh no, oh no. We're not going to add to the grace of God. Grace alone is what it takes to save a sinner. Amen? Now I want you to go back to Galatians in chapter number 1. I want you to see a few things and then I'll close for tonight. I want to give you a few things that Paul said. There were three things that these teachers spawned throughout the congregation there in those churches in Galatia. One of them was legalism. Now listen to me. You've heard that word. And many people use that word erroneously. Okay? Let's say a man has high standards. or a gal has high standards, or a family or a church has high standards. Oftentimes what people will do that doesn't want to line up with those biblical standards, oh, well, they're legalist. Well, that's not a proper way to use that word. That's not a proper way to use that word. See, legalism ties in with conversion. True legalism says you must do thus and thus in order to be saved. That adds to or replaces the grace of God. True legalism was when the Judaizers came and said, hey, Acts 15:1, you've got to be circumcised and accept the law of Moses or else you can't be saved. That is legalism. Amen. And that's something we ought to combat. And the Apostle Paul here does. He combats it. It's combated best in the book of Romans. I'm going to ask you to turn to a couple of scriptures with me. Look, if you would, in Romans. Paul summed it up here. Romans chapter 3. Now, I don't think there's anyone here that would say, well, you know, preacher, you have to keep a certain amount of the law in order to be saved. The law can show you you need to be saved, but it cannot save you. As we shall see in the book of Galatians, the law is our schoolmaster that brings us to Christ. The law shows the sinner that he is a sinner. The law shows the sinner that God is holy, but the law cannot clean the sinner up. That takes the grace of God, brethren. Only by the grace of God. Romans chapter 3, look at it if you would, in verse number 28. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Romans chapter 3 and verse number 28, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And I say a big hearty amen. How about you? That's what the book teaches, brethren. That's what the book teaches. You say, well, now some television evangelist, not the least bit interested in what some television evangelist says that doesn't line up with this book. Shut them off. If it doesn't line up with this book, shut it down. Amen. Know what the book teaches. Stay with the book, because the book is what's going to judge us in the last day. So legalism, that's those who say, well, you know, you're saved by grace, but now you've got to keep a certain amount of the law and you've got to do this. Nope, Paul said, we conclude, Romans 3:28, one more time, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Well, then there's this other, and you can turn to the book of James, chapter 2. There's kind of another side. There's one extreme, you know. Well, you know, you got to keep the law. And if you don't do that, you know, then you're not saved and you can't stay saved. But then there's another, and we call this antinomianism. Now listen, you say, what does that word mean? It just means anti-law. And what it's saying is, well, you know, I'm saved, which means I can live any way I want because I'm not under the law. I'm not under the law. I'm saved. I can live any way I want. It doesn't matter how I live or what I do. And James said, well, let me tell you what God thinks about that. James chapter 2. Look, if you would, in James chapter 2 in verse number 17. Now, Paul deals with both of these positions in the book of Galatians. James chapter 2, look at verse number 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead. But it doesn't stop there. Being alone. I like what Dr. Comfort said during our meeting. He said, a faith that cannot change you can't save you. You see, when we exercise our faith, it's a gift. In the grace of God, there comes change in our life. And when we get saved, because the Spirit of God comes to dwell in every believer, He places a desire in our lives to become more like Christ. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. That's why the same apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. It's a process. We call that progressive sanctification. It's a progressive act of God in our lives. All right? That's a Bible. Listen, it's a Bible doctrine. that we need to understand. God is progressing us in our Christian walk. He is progressing us in our being set apart for His service. So this is what was taking place. Finally in the book of Galatians, there's what's called Galatianism. You say, I don't think I've ever heard of that. Well, it's got a new name today. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 3 and see if this sounds like someone you've met. So you're out and you're witnessing, or you're at a family reunion. I'll never forget Sharon and I, right after I got saved, my uncle was a preacher who believed that you could lose your salvation. And he thought that Baptists were weak. He thought that Baptist people were carnal and weak and had zero teaching, that we just done what we wanted, how we wanted. And you know what? I mean, had he given me half a chance, I'd have told him, you're right about some of them. Amen. There's some Baptists not saved. You do know that, right? There's some Baptists that are going to hell. Now, I didn't say Christians. I said Baptist. There's some Baptists that are going to hell. They've never been saved. They're just relying on some Baptist teaching or some upbringing they had in a Baptist church, but they've never repented of their sin and trusted Christ as their Savior. We had a Catholic young lady visiting with us during the revival, and I really enjoyed meeting her and talking with her. And when she came forward, I asked her, I said, it's good to meet you. I'm glad you came tonight. I said, are you a Bible believer? She said, I'm a Catholic. And I smiled a little bit and I said, well, okay, but that's not the question I ask you. Are you a Bible believer? And I said, the reason I ask that is because I know Catholics that are not Bible believers. And before you get mad at me, I know Baptists that are not too. Amen. See, I'm really not concerned if you're a Catholic, a Baptist, a Methodist, a Episcopalian, a Lutheran. Do you believe the Bible? See, that's what I want to know, because that's going to help me to find out how I need to minister to you. Do you believe the Bible? We were out at lunch, Sharon and Gene and I, and we met a young lady who said she was a Catholic, and she basically had the same response when I asked her if she was saved. She said, I'm a Catholic. I don't know what that has to do with the question I ask you. I ask you, were you saved? And my response to her was, young lady, you don't think all Catholics are going to heaven, do you? You don't go to heaven for being a Catholic. But now before you get mad at me, you don't go to heaven for being a Baptist either. You see how people attach themselves to these things? And they think it means something. Brethren, listen, I'm going to tell you what means something. A personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what means something. And we need to stick to that. Find out if a person has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You can argue about denominationism. Listen, from now to Jesus comes again. Till you're blue in the face, you pass out because you don't have any air left. And I'm not sure that's going to settle anything. What we need to find out is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, these people in Galatians, these Galatian churches, these Galatians had gotten saved under the Apostle Paul's ministry. And this is where I want to close tonight. Perhaps you're here and you say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I'm not saved because I was raised in a Christian home. I'm not saved because I went to a Bible-believing church. I'm not saved because I'm a Baptist. I'm saved because I repented of my sin when I saw myself as a sinner, and I placed my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save me of my sin. I received what He did for me at Calvary. When He died on the cross, He was buried, and thank God He rose again the third day, and now I know I'm saved because I placed my faith, my trust in His finished work. Brethren, that's the way you get saved. That's what happened here. But these people came in and they said, okay, that is the way you get saved. But now, you got to stay saved. Have you heard this one? There's a teaching that says, well, you're saved by faith, but now you got to work to stay saved. You can't keep yourself saved. Well, now, wait a minute. Hold it. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having, and watch this phrase, begun in the Spirit. In other words, you were saved by the Spirit of God, who baptized you into the body of Christ, having begun this walk of faith, this journey of faith, having begun in the Spirit, or you now made perfect by the flesh? You think you have what it takes to keep yourself saved? You don't understand. He said, you're foolish. You have no more power to keep yourself saved than you did to get yourself saved. Now say amen with me. And he said, you are listening to this erroneous teaching, and it is beginning to pervert your thinking. And he said, I want to set you straight on it. And he begins to teach, and that's why Paul wrote this book, to help set them straight on living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Let me give you a quick outline. First two chapters, it's personal. It's the grace of God and the gospel, chapter 1 and 2. Personal. Chapter 3 and 4 is doctrinal. The grace of God and the law. And chapter 5 and 6 is practical. The grace of God and the Christian life. The book of Galatians is a great book. You will enjoy studying it. Go home and read it. Read it through. And we'll meet each Wednesday night and we'll take it verse by verse. You will learn. I will learn. We will learn things from this great book. And it will help us not to be under the yoke of bondage, but as Galatians 5:1 says, to stand fast in the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus. Let's stand to our feet. I love to study the Bible. I love to study books of the Bible. They're great teachings that we can learn and can help us in our walk with God. So perhaps there's someone here tonight that would be worried, preacher, I'm so afraid I'm going to lose my salvation. That is not even a biblical possibility. But I don't want you to take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Begin to read through the book of Galatians. Look what the Scripture says. If there were just one verse, and there's many, John 10, verse 27 and 28. My sheep hear my voice. Are you one of God's sheep? If you're saved, you are. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Amen? Never. Never. You say, well, I can go out and live any way I want. If you're saved and you think you can do that, how many of you had a grandma that used to make you go out and get hickory switches that looked like tree limbs and bring them back? Amen. A mother. Amen. All right. Don't you think God our Father won't get the spiritual hickory switch? Now you listen to me. God will chasten you. You say, I'll do whatever I want. Not if you're saved, you won't. Just like when you was growing up, if you had some discipline in your home, you didn't have that attitude. Amen? Mama said something, do something. Daddy said do something. You got to doing it. Now sometimes we did it out of duty. But that teaches us to do it out of delight when we mature. There came a time, though my grandmother gave me some lashings, I mean some lashings, that I'd just soon her give me lashings than look at me with tears in her eyes and say, son, you've disappointed me. I'd just soon take the lashing. And brethren, when we mature in the faith, that's the way it is with God. God will discipline us when we do wrong. But as we mature, He rebukes and He speaks to us, and it breaks our heart. Father, thank You for the